football coach Joe Harris-Simiak, Evan Drellick of the Boston Herald, Mike Lowe from the Press Herald, and Alan Adams from the Main Edge with movie reviews on Pass the Popcorn. Right now, though, we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by longtime journalist, consultant, and just a, well, all-round wonderful person, good friend of the show, Felicia Knight, joining us. Felicia, good afternoon.
Hi, Rich. I love being called an all-round good person.
Well,
thank you.
There's no question about it in our mind here. It is September 12th today, yesterday the 11th, and 15 years ago yesterday, a day that all of us who were around will remember, but you have a very unique perspective on the events of that day, working in Washington at the time. Can you take us back 15 years in a day and talk about your personal experience and what happened to you on September 11th, 2001?
Well, I think my experience was not unlike that of just about everyone in the country, in that there was a great deal of disbelief, initially numbness, a little bit of fear. But I guess what made it different for me was that I was working in Washington, D.C. I was working on Capitol Hill in Senator Susan Collins' office. And that morning, we were expecting to take part in a hearing. The senator was on the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, and the First Lady was going to testify at that committee on early childhood education. And needless to say, the hearing didn't happen. It was just an unreal moment to know, as these things unfolded gradually, first we see on the news a break-in of programming on the Today Show where they're saying, it seems like a small plane has hit the World Trade Center. And I heard that, and I thought, someone's in trouble. And I immediately, not for any particular reason, went downstairs to the Senate post office because I wanted to try to get some letters mailed before the hearing started. So I went downstairs, and I'm in the post office. No one was waiting on me. Everyone's crowded around the TV, and I, excuse me, I'd like to buy a stamp. And the woman turned around and came back, and she said, a plane just hit the World Trade Center. I said, yeah, I heard that on the news. And she said, no, another one just hit the World Trade Center. And I have to say my blood just ran cold because I thought, if that's true, that's not an accident. And then the day kind of unfolded from there.
Now, also being in Washington, and especially as we began to understand what was happening, you realize, too, that you are in a target zone, and so there are precautions and procedures in place. Did they do anything with staff members?
Yes. Now, to say there were procedures in place might be an overstatement, because no one really knew what was happening. And once we learned that the Pentagon had been attacked, then everything really just went into full evacuate mode. And there were rumors. A plane's headed for the Capitol. A plane's headed for the White House. But certainly you didn't discount a rumor like that because you know that one had just crash-landed into the Pentagon. And we began the evacuation process. And I don't want to say there was panic. I know some people remember panic. There was a lot of uncertainty and fear, but also a feeling of, okay, we need to handle this, and we need to get people out of the building. I remember our office manager was primarily concerned with interns, saying, you need to call your parents, you need to tell them you're okay, and we need to get you out of the building. And the senator was taken off to a secure location, and then myself and the chief of staff were just trying to get off of Capitol Hill because, as you said, Rich, it's a potential target. And we got in a car, and we got into traffic, which was moving remarkably in an orderly manner. Everyone arrives at different times, but now everyone was leaving at the same time. And traffic was really just paralyzed. We just inched along and inched along, but it wasn't like there were a lot of honking and people jostling for position. It was just people kind of numbly getting away. And it took us about 7 hours to get from Capitol Hill to a destination in Georgetown where we were headed. And that's not normal, despite the horrific nature of Washington traffic. That was a very long time.
Now, I remember we talked to Steve Abbott on the 10th anniversary, who was also working for Senator Collins at the time. And
right.
I remember him telling us about being in a car, and I don't know if it was leaving Capitol Hill, but being able to see the smoke rising from the Pentagon and what an eerie, otherworldly experience that was.
He was in my car. Yeah. We were driving out together, and it was just heartbreaking, and I hate to give them the credit for it, but it was, in fact, terrifying because this institution, which stood for our national defense, was smoking and burning. And, in fact, when we got to a certain point in Georgetown, which, for those who don't know the D.C. area, you know, it's elevated out of the city. Washington, D.C. is basically itself built on a swamp. And from a certain point in Georgetown, you could look across the Potomac and see the smoke rising from the Pentagon, and it just broke your heart.
We're talking with Felicia Knight here on Downtown. There are those who say that September 11th, 2001 was the day that America changed forever, and then there are those who say that, you know, we only changed for a little while, and then we went right back to doing the same old thing. I suspect the truth lies somewhere in between. Where are we 15 years later?
I think you're exactly right. I think it lies somewhere in between. For some people and for the jobs they do, the world has changed forever, and there's no going back. I would say that's the case for our national defense, for all of our security agencies, for most of our first responders. I'd say for some people, the world has never changed. The world has changed and will never go back. For other people, you know, they were, I'd say, thanks to those people, are able to go on with their daily lives. But there are aspects of our lives that have changed. I mean, anyone who's flown recently knows that that's never going to be the same. Going to any large building, having any kind of large gathering, whether it's a baseball game or the Olympics, you know, that's changed forever. The idea that trying to prevent terrorism here in the United States is an ongoing part of many people's portfolio now. That's different, and that's never going to change.
By the way, Susan Collins, Senator Collins, will be with us on the show coming up on Thursday afternoon, and I will likely ask her some version of this. We had a period immediately after the attacks of a few days where we were certainly incredibly united as a nation, but also where we had tremendous outpourings of support from all around the world. That quickly changed, and here we are 15 years later, perhaps as polarized as a nation as we've ever been. Will it take another tragedy to get us back to being a united nation, or is there a way to recapture some of that moment without bearing the brunt of a tragedy?
Well, I certainly hope it won't take a tragedy. And I am saddened as an American, as a citizen, at the state of our country right now and the polarization of it and the fact that it seems always to be an us versus them mentality, whether it's partisanship or a class divide or an economic divide or a cultural divide. It's unfortunate and it's sad that there are those powers that be who love a situation like this because that helps them consolidate power. And it doesn't just have to be in a political sense. I mean, there are always those who love the fight because the fight is what gives them a reason to be and gives them power. I will say that nothing can put life in perspective as quickly as death. And I am saddened that most people don't understand quite how ephemeral life is and how quickly it can be over, and who spend much of their time in galvanizing their side. They have the points and that they know better and they can shout louder. And you can ascribe that to many different things, and I certainly don't want to go on a political rant here, but I think it is unfortunate that the unity that was found in the immediate aftermath of September 11th has evaporated.
Now, not that I need anything to make myself feel a little bit older, but I have freshman students this year, some of whom were not born yet on September 11th of 01.
Yeah. Well, and now you know how our parents felt when we talk about Pearl Harbor. everyone has these defining moments in their lives, whether it's something like Pearl Harbor or the assassinations of President Kennedy or Martin Luther King or 9/11. And it is unfortunate when the significance of these events gets lost in subsequent generations and gets lost to history. Think about how horrified you and I were about September 11th, and then imagine what our parents were thinking about the bombing of Pearl Harbor, but then understanding that at the time, many Americans didn't even know where Pearl Harbor was.
Right.
And so to have something as just galvanizing and defining as 9/11 happened in Washington, D.C., in New York City, in Pennsylvania, and then think that 15 short years later, there are many people who don't really give it much of a thought, and that's too bad.
Absolutely.
It's beyond too bad. It's debilitating almost sometimes.
Yeah, and that's why it's incumbent on all of us who remember it very well to not just pass along the historical facts and the numbers and the data, but also, I think, to share the feeling of what it was like and the impact that it made on our lives at that time and continues to make to this day. Because to me, in the big picture, that's perhaps even more important than to just list the facts about what happened.
I think you're absolutely right there, and I think about the people who I was with on that day, and I'll tell you, there couldn't have been a better, more responsive, more just people than the ones I was with on September 11th, and you mentioned Steve Abbott and Senator Collins, and chief among them, and as I mentioned, our office manager, a woman named Pam Weddle, who was just making sure that people were taken care of. And it took me 10 hours because the phone lines were just overwhelmed to get in touch with my husband and my father that day to let them know I was okay. And you realize that these are people's lives at stake. There were people who died, people who performed heroically, who could have escaped but who died. And I mentioned this on a Facebook post of mine. It was United Flight 93 that many of the experts believed was headed to the U.S. Capitol. It could have been headed to the White House, but many believed it was headed to the Capitol. And people on that plane took it into their heads to try to stop it and ended up dying themselves in a field in Pennsylvania. And for the rest of my life, I will say a prayer for those people and be grateful for what they did.
Well said. Felicia, thank you so much for sharing your memories and your perspective on the September 11th, 2001, 15 years and a day, but still very fresh in our minds. As always, great to talk with you. Give our best to Toll, and we'll catch up with you again soon.